Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, we dissect the media's ridiculous reaction to the death of al-Baghdadi. We talk about why the President of the United States was booed at the World Series. And we also dive into some correct predictions that were made on a previous episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. This is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show. Before we get started, make sure you are subscribed, download some episodes, leave a review, give us a five-star rating, get your friend to do the same. This is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Buckle up, because here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to The Charlie Kirk Show. Last week was a barn-burning week at Turning Point USA, and for myself personally, I mean, we started with a campus event at Grand Canyon University with the great Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle. We had over 1,400, actually it might even have been 1,800 people, we'll get the exact number, people in the room. It was unbelievable, huge auditorium, very positive response, and we had even more people on the outside. We had over 1,000 students on the outside that were not even able to get in. Had a ton of fun there. Then we went after that to Colorado State University, who is run by the fool, President McConnell, who wrote a horrible letter about us and about me, wrongly connecting us with horrible hate crimes that have been happening at the university. And to this moment of this recording of this podcast, she has still not apologized for what she has insinuated and what she inferred against myself and against Turning Point USA. But despite all that, we filled up an auditorium. We had over 800 seats, and boy, was it standing room only. And we had thousands and thousands of people outside. And actually, after this event, it caught the attention and caught the eye of the President of the United States, President Trump. He sent out a sequence of three tweets, very nice of him, complimenting the campus success that we were having and that we are having at Turning Point USA. On Wednesday, I went to the University of Iowa in Iowa City. Not as many protesters, I got to say. They were Iowa nice. We had the great Benny Johnson there and our whole team, and we filled it up again. Had to be at least 900 people, 1,000 people, capacity room, every seat filled. It was terrific. Had the opportunity to spread the message of freedom and liberty and American exceptionalism with a great Iowa audience. And then we went east and we ended the week of the campus tour at University of New Hampshire, where we had another packed room with the great Senator Rand Paul. We discussed his new book, The Case Against Socialism, that I encourage all of you to go buy. And then I went back all the way across the country to Newport Beach, where I spoke at our Western Regional Conference at Turning Point USA. Had a lot of fun there. I have to say, our team at Turning Point USA deserves so much credit. And for those of you that want to get engaged and involved, that's tpusa.com. And then after that, I went down to Nashville, Tennessee, to a little event called Politicon. Politicon is, it's like Twitter in real life, I have to say. It's very interesting. It's a chance for me to debate against people that I see on Twitter all year long. And I debated Kyle Kulinski. In fact, I want to get into that a little bit in just a minute and talk about what I could have done better and where I think I had the upper hand and things that I was pretty happy about, and just some ideas I wish I would have fleshed out even more. But Kyle's a formidable opponent. Kyle is a smart guy. I think he's very misguided philosophically. He calls himself a libertarian leftist, which is contradictory. You cannot believe in a big government while also believing in a small government just for things that you deem to be socially acceptable. Either you're skeptical of government power and want to use it as rarely as possible or not. But we had a very, very good discussion and conversation. I do want to get into that if time permits here on the Charlie Kirk Show. So we've had quite a week, but I have to say, you know, there were a lot of ups, there were a lot of downs. It was a challenging week for me personally. I had to say goodbye to my lifelong companion and dog, Winston, and that was very hard. And for those of you that have had to do that, you know that is one of the hardest things that you have to do. In fact, psychologists will say that it's actually similar. The brain reacts similarly, and you react emotionally to losing a family member or a very close friend. And so that was hard. But I have to say, some of the best news that I got the entire week, with a lot of the ups and a lot of the downs. So when I read the headline that al-Baghdadi was dead, the head of ISIS, this guy is an evil guy, He started one of the most brutal killing campaigns that the Middle East has seen in recent memory. He, of course, was the head of the Islamic State, which they call themselves ISIS, and they were most famously known recently for cutting journalists' heads off, for raping countless women and brutalizing children and just massacring civilians. And thanks to U.S.-led forces with the cooperation of, yes, Russia and Turkey. So I want to stop right there. Thanks to President Trump staying on talking terms with Vladimir Putin and staying on talking terms with Turkey, Turkey and Russia allowed U.S. special forces to fly an hour and a half in a helicopter over Turkey and Russian-controlled airspace to be able to go where they finally found al-Baghdadi, the coward, the evil leader of ISIS. We'll get into why he's a coward in just a second. President Trump, thanks to continuing discussions with countries that, quite honestly, don't always make the right decisions. I don't think Erdogan is a good leader. I don't think Vladimir Putin is a good leader. But there's times when you might need to do something that benefits your own country. And Turkey and Russia allowed safe passage for American-led special forces to fly over their sites. And they went into this camp where al-Baghdadi was stationed. And I want to talk about one of the most egregious responses to this and one thing that I think the media is missing. But first, did you know recently over 100 million people had their personal information stolen in a major data breach? Social security numbers, contact details, credit scores, and more, all taken from Capital One customers. It's unbelievable. There's a good chance that you were affected. These kinds of attacks are getting more and more frequent and more severe. It's not just Capital One. Equifax, Facebook, eBay, Uber, PlayStation, Yahoo all have leaked passwords. It's unbelievable. Credit cards and bank numbers belong to billions of users. This is why I use ExpressVPN. You can't control how big corporations mishandle your data, but you can protect yourself. ExpressVPN is an app for your computer and phone that encrypts and secures your data. Hey, if a breach can happen to Capital One, it can happen to you too, right? I never go online without ExpressVPN. And if you care about your privacy and safety, you shouldn't either. ExpressVPN connects with just one click. It's lightning fast and costs less than $7 a month. And guess what? As I'm saying this right now, I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at my computer and my iPad, all of them have ExpressVPN on it. Do you really want the Chinese government to be able to get into your phone? There's only one way to prevent that from happening, and that's ExpressVPN. It's rated the number one VPN provider by TechRadar, CNET, The Verge, and countless others. It secures your data. It secures your conversations. You need it. Use my special link right now. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to arm yourself with an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show and protect yourself. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie for an extra 3 months free. So al-Baghdadi is dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Evil, coward, maniac, potentially genocidal. That's what I will say. Potentially genocidal. Potential dictator, leader, you fill in the blank. The guy is the scum of the earth. This guy's a really, really bad guy. And so this, I started to flip through Twitter. I was pretty excited about it. And then I started to see something trending. And I couldn't believe it. I actually could not believe it. And if you're going to hear this, and if you haven't heard it already, it's extraordinary how the Washington Post described al-Baghdadi. So I just used a lot of words, all of which were accurate. But if I were to write a headline for the Washington Post, I would say leader of ISIS or extremist. Like that would be as moderate as I would go as the Washington Post. So the original headline they put out was something along the lines of, you know, extremist leader of ISIS killed. And then there was an edit made where the Washington Post described al-Baghdadi as a, quote, austere religious scholar. I'm not making this up. Austere religious scholar. And so their first headline said, it's the Islamic State's terrorist in chief, dead at 48. Good. I totally agree and I totally think that's terrific. By the way, since the killing of al-Baghdadi happened under President Trump's watch, I'm surprised that the Ninth Circuit Court has not overturned his death. I'm surprised that they haven't reversed it. Of course, I'm half kidding, but it seems that the Ninth Circuit, which is the circuit that represents the western part of the United States and Hawaii, seems to overturn everything that the president does that might be good. So I want you to imagine right now. I want you to imagine when Jeffrey Epstein's suicide got made publicly, the backlash that would ensue if the Washington Post said, well-respected financier and complicated individual, Jeffrey Epstein, commits suicide. Could you imagine? Could you imagine with the death of Jeffrey Epstein, they said that? And by the way, I do want to be very specific. this guy, Al-Baghdadi, I was, you know, I always try to not go, I try to be very rational. As you know, this is the home of conservative libertarian rational thinking. Al-Baghdadi was genocidal. He killed Christians and Yazidis. And by the way, to also kind of qualify my joke, the Ninth Circuit is getting much more conservative. And it's really the district courts that are causing most of the issues. However, the joke remains the same. However, imagine when you were writing the obituary or you were writing the article about some of the scum of the earth that pass on. And what's so amazing is as I'm recording this podcast, we just saw some news come in about the Washington Post that shows that Nick Sandman, the teenager from Covington High School who did nothing wrong, Covington Catholic High School from Kentucky, was wearing a MAGA hat when the provocateur, I think his name was Nathan Phillips, Nathan Phillips comes up to him and starts banging the drum in his face, starts banging the drum incessantly. Nick Sandman does nothing wrong but smiles. Some people say he smirked. So what? And his name was smeared like you wouldn't believe, especially by the Washington Post. So I want you to just think about this. The Washington Post treats teenagers in America that wear MAGA hats that smile worse and describe them worse than the genocidal leader of ISIS. Let that sink in. That our own media, the Washington Post, they say democracy dies in darkness. That's their whole thing. They treat Nick Sandman, a teenager from Kentucky who did nothing wrong, they treated him far worse than Al-Baghdadi, the genocidal evil maniac. And guess what? They changed the headline. So the original headline, Al-Baghdadi, Islamic State's terrorist in chief, dies at 48. Fine, move on. Who made that edit? Who made that edit? I want to know the name of the person. I want to know if they were fired. I want to know their intention. Because this reads like ISIS apologism. This reads like ISIS sympathy. Now, mind you, the Washington Post, when they reported the death of Osama bin Laden, and by the way, Al-Baghdadi and Osama bin Laden are in the same ballpark of human carnage. Osama bin Laden was the architect behind 3,000 Americans being killed. The architect of ISIS was responsible for thousands and thousands of deaths under his brutal campaign against people that he found to be impure. And yet the Washington Post described this. Osama bin Laden killed leader of terrorist group Al-Qaeda. He was 54. That was when there wasn't a partisan agenda to killing terrorists. There was no fawning headlines about mass murders. An austere scholar, that's how they describe Al-Baghdadi, an austere scholar. This is a stunning devolution in American politics. And guess what? There is no backlash whatsoever by the mainstream media critics. You have all these people that run these websites that are supposed to be counting about where media is right and where media is wrong. Very little backlash. Let's play my friend Hogan Gidley, who works in the White House as I think he's deputy press secretary. Let's play a clip of him on Fox News with the great Harris Faulkner commenting on this.
I have to be clear. What happened over the weekend was historic in so many ways, and it protects the world at large. Thousands of lives, countless lives, quite frankly, are going to be saved because of this successful mission. And despite what the Washington Post wants you to think, this was not some religious leader, a religious scholar. This was a terrorist, a disgusting man with a record of death and viciousness and destruction. He would put people in cages and set them on fire. He would decapitate people and put that video on the internet. And who could forget that precious girl, Kayla Mueller, and what he did to her? It is unspeakable. She was a Christian missionary on the ground there professing the Bible and Christ, and because she refused to denounce her religion, she was killed for it. She is a modern-day martyr, and there is a special place for Kayla in heaven and a special place for Al-Baghdadi in hell.
But the Washington Post wasn't alone in their ridiculous fawning coverage of the ISIS leader. Bloomberg also did this, but as I say those words fawning, it just kind of came to me. What did they find to be so admirable about this guy? Austere scholar. Who in the Washington Post organization believes anything favorable from this maniac? Was it the killing of children? Was it the raping of women? Or was it the cutting of journalists' heads off? And with Jamal Khashoggi, look, no person deserves to be innocently lured into an embassy. And there are a lot of conversations swirling around Khashoggi, some of which are who is funding him and who is behind all of his efforts. Anyway, I'm not justifying the brutal murder of Jamal Khashoggi. However, the Washington Post made this headline news. So why am I bringing this up? Well, because ISIS was known for brutally going after journalists in the Middle East. And so if the Washington Post wanted to be consistent, if the Washington Post really cared about the brutal killing of journalists, why are they all of a sudden indulging in ISIS apologism? So here's the headline from Bloomberg the exact same day. Quote, Islamic State leader al-Baghdadi transformed himself from a little-known teacher of Quranic recitation into a self-proclaimed ruler of an entity that covered swaths of Syria and Iraq, end quote. I mean, this sounds like they're writing an up-by-your-bootstrap story. So I want you to imagine something right now. Draw the line in the sand right here, right now. Everyone listening to this podcast will eventually face death. It's human inevitability. So when our great president, President Donald Trump, peacefully enters the next life, how are they going to write about him at Bloomberg? How are they going to write about him at the Washington Post? I want you to remember this podcast and this day. Because when any conservative passes on from this point forward, I want you to compare the way that they write the headlines of the conservative versus how they wrote the headlines of the Islamic State leader al-Baghdadi, the genocidal maniac who went after journalists, who went after women, who went after children, who went after Yazidis, who went after Christians. I want you to remember this day. Because they write this, Bloomberg right here, wrote this headline as if it was like a believing in yourself bootstrap story. Al-Baghdadi transformed himself from a little-known teacher of Quranic recitation into the self-proclaimed ruler of an entity that covered swaths of Syria and Iraq. Here, let me fix this for you, Bloomberg. Islamic State al-Baghdadi lied his way to become a radical teacher who then inspired, coordinated, and injected himself into brutal killings against people he thought to be impure, end quote. That's your bootstrap story, just right off the cuff right there. But they're saying transformed himself from a little-known teacher of Quranic recitation into a self-proclaimed ruler of an entity that covered swaths of Syria and Iraq. If I'm being honest, this is just as bad as the Washington Post headline. In fact, the austere scholar is bad, but this one is like this long description of it, which I think is really, really bad. An up by your bootstraps story. I mean, for someone who is responsible for the death of thousands and thousands, countless violent rapes, attacks on the West, and the pillaging of the Middle East. And so I just have to ask the question, who is behind all this? And I don't have the answer to that, but it seems as if there is a belief that since ISIS was countering the West, that they must not have been that bad. I know that sounds hard to believe, but within our own media, they romanticize this figure. They make it seem as if he was part of some greater struggle that was not properly understood. Nate Silver, he marveled that, quote, libs can't even permit Trump to have one good day, end quote, after the al-Baghdadi killing. On Twitter, libs started to trend after the statistician's name came up after he made the comments. I tweeted right before the recording of this podcast, I said, what was CNN's front page story this morning? Question mark. Quote, how killing Baghdadi affects the impeachment inquiry, end quote. Not, quote, how killing Baghdadi affects global safety, end quote. Or, quote, how killing Baghdadi affects national security, end quote. They don't care about that. They only care about destroying Trump. Sick. You can check my Twitter for that tweet. They so badly don't want to give Trump a win. They would rather downplay how enormous a win this was so Trump doesn't get to have a universally accepted win. This is a huge win. People should be applauding our country. I mean, do you remember after Osama bin Laden was killed? Osama bin Laden, who was the scum of the earth as well. People were cheering. People were celebrating in the streets. Now when the president goes to a baseball game, he gets booed. He gets booed. And I'm going to tell you my thoughts about that. I'm also going to tell you about the lesson of national security that we can take away from this particular attack. But first, let me talk to you about something super important. So look, as a owner of a business, which is this podcast, and as a CEO of a nationwide nonprofit that employs over 150 people and a growing budget and with a lot of obligation, that's Turning Point USA, I can tell you that if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. For those of you out there that are entrepreneurs, that are part of the daily grind and the hustle, you know exactly what I mean. But the problem that growing businesses have that keeps them from knowing their numbers is the hodgepodge of business systems. I could tell you firsthand, you got the Excel spreadsheets, you got the different charts of what calls you have to make, you have the accounts payable, the accounts receivable, you know, one system for accounting, one for sales and inventory, so on and so forth. It's just a mess. It's a total and complete mess. It takes too much time, too many resources. I can't even remember my passwords for half of these crazy things. And it hurts the bottom line. So here's the thing. NetSuite by Oracle. I could tell you firsthand that this business management software handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, you save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desktop or phone. That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Kirk. You got to check it out. netsuite.com/Kirk. And if you go to netsuite.com/Kirk, download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits. You know, all of my young listeners out there that are entrepreneurs that want to start businesses, it's always to start good practices at the beginning of businesses. You know, for those of you that, you know, ever played baseball, that's why they try to teach kids a perfect swing at the earliest possible age, or else you end up going to the majors, or you might not go to the majors at all with the goofiest, you know, pose of a bat. You want to get good fundamentals at the entry phase. Same in basketball, same in football. And guess what? It's the same in business. You don't want to have all these hodgepodge of business systems. So if you're thinking about starting a business, if you have a good idea and you're an entrepreneur, go to netsuite.com/Kirk. netsuite.com/Kirk has my full approval. So you got to go to it. netsuite.com/Kirk. And so here's the big takeaway for the national security argument with the death of the evil, genocidal, murdering maniac al-Baghdadi, of which whatever you do to celebrate, celebrate, because this deserves celebration. Whatever you do that you consider to be something special, because the world is a safer, better place thanks to this maniac being killed. But look, I have long said that we should have a restrained foreign policy doctrine and a foreign policy agenda. In fact, I have an upcoming book that writes a lot about this, and I write positively about President Trump's foreign policy approach. I call it the MAGA doctrine, which is all about making America great again. And one of the things that the President of the United States says that is so correct is that great nations do not fight endless wars. And I could not agree more. I mean, the war in Afghanistan is a endless occupation. And basically, we have created a new division of our government, which is now the Department of Occupying Afghanistan. It's expensive, it's bloated, and it's not what the United States military is trained for. It's not what they should be trained for, and it is not their highest and best use. What just happened with al-Baghdadi is their highest and best use. And without divulging too many details, I had the opportunity to hear from the President of the United States the day that I am actually recording this podcast. And I'm not going to divulge any confidential information, but I will say in general terms, the president was describing the remarkable precision that these troops and these very elite fighters used to be able to kill the ISIS fighters in al-Baghdadi. And in fact, the president was describing as he was watching this live unfolding how the fighters were saying gunfire on the right, gunfire right eliminated, gunfire on the left, gunfire left eliminated. And the president was basically talking so positively and how impressed he was with how matter of fact our elite fighting force was. And we lost 0 Americans. There was a dog that was injured. The president of the United States has declassified a picture of that dog, and he looks very happy because his mission was very accomplished. I hope he got a filet mignon steak because he definitely deserved it. But what this goes to show, and I've said this time and time again, I am not a strict isolationist, and I disagree with Tulsi Gabbard that we should withdraw from every single theater of the world and that we should bring every single troop home. And Ron Paul holds that perspective. Rand Paul does not hold that perspective. I do agree with Rand Paul that we should have a different approach in the Middle East and that ending these endless foreign conflicts should be reconsidered. However, I have said time and time again that properly deployed, our elite fighting forces are unstoppable. In fact, right after 9/11, when America was looking for justice after the evil 9/11 attacks, we killed more terrorists and we did more damage against the bad guys 90 days after 9/11 when we put in Green Berets, Special Forces, Navy SEALs, and targeted drone strikes than we did in 18 years and trillions of dollars spent in Afghanistan. When you think about it, it makes sense because we're not fighting a traditional ground war. So why are we always sending troops over there as if we're fighting a ground invasion? We're actually fighting a highly sophisticated, complex, asymmetrical battle that requires our top fighters that, quite honestly, these guys are the most amazing American heroes. And I think this is a great demonstration of that. This didn't take massive amounts of Abrams tanks or Tomahawk missiles. Do you know what this took? It took, I believe the number was 68. We can fact check it right now because I'm talking about this just as I heard it today. I think it was 68 American heroes, special forces. It took them to be well-trained, well-financed, also having the agreement of two countries that one is currently under harsh sanctions and one is potentially going to be under harsh sanctions, but it took agreements from them to allow us to fly over areas that they control and also do the help of the Kurds to go into this camp and to kill al-Baghdadi. And also, let's go back to Osama bin Laden. Where was Osama bin Laden actually found? He was found in the very country that we never invaded. Osama bin Laden was actually found in Pakistan. He was not found in Afghanistan. We killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. So I want to be very tough on terror. But I believe that endless wars in the Middle East and foreign occupation in lands that have nothing to do with our own country actually give the terrorists, some of the terrorists, what they want, which is hundreds of billions of dollars of expenditures, thousands of Americans being killed, and tens of thousands coming home with PTSD and other massive medical costs that end up being a financial drain on our country. And so I, for one, applaud the President of the United States for using this agile, asymmetrical warfare to be able to go after al-Baghdadi. And if we're really serious with ourselves, is it going to be 2,000 Abrams tanks and Tomahawk missiles and another 50,000 troops in Syria that are going to help find al-Baghdadi? Or is it going to be a highly lethal fighting force that goes after very targeted assets and is able to execute flawlessly? And I just have to say, the way the president was describing these guys, I was smiling because he said, I felt like I was watching a movie. These guys are unbelievable. And they really are. America has the best fighting force the world has ever seen. There's a lot of good special forces out there. Israel, the United Kingdom, they have some amazing special forces. But quite honestly, you talk to the guys in the intelligence community anywhere across the world, you know, when they give public speeches or when they write books, America's Navy SEALs, Green Berets, there's something special about these guys. They fight so, so well, and the rest of the world has always, even the people that hate us the most, the Iranians and the Chinese, have always said that America's special forces are second to none, and they deserve such amazing credit. And so we kill al-Baghdadi, and the President of the United States shows up to Game 5 of the World Series, and the Washington Nationals fans boo the President of the United States and chant, "Lock him up." So my first reaction when I read this, first of all, I got a Twitter push notification. I never get Twitter push notifications, rarely ever. And so did Mr. Producer, where it said that, oh, you know, the Washington fans boo President Trump. And I kind of laughed. I said, that's a good thing. I mean, his whole message was to drain the swamp. His whole message was to run against Washington, D.C. And I want a president that is booed by Washington, D.C. and cheered by middle America. 5 out of 10 of the wealthiest counties in America, and it was as high as 8 out of 10 of the wealthiest counties in America. It fluctuates year to year. But a majority of the wealthiest counties in America are around Washington, D.C., a vast majority. What does Washington, D.C. make? Do they make cars? Do they make planes, trains, automobiles? Do they make Facebook, Google, IBM, Apple, Amazon? Can you name me one out of the 100 top publicly traded companies that was founded and is currently domiciled or headquartered in Washington, D.C.? I can't think of one. There might be one. I'm not going to try to, overexpose this argument, but I can't think of one in the top 10, top 15, top 20. The point being is that Washington, D.C. is not a center of innovation. It's not a center of entrepreneurship. It's not a center of creativity. It's a center of swampiness, of corruption, of insider dealing, of filibustering, of backslapping. And so when those people are booing our president, I'm saying he's doing something right, because any Washington national crowd that cheers for a president of the United States, I'm going to say he might not be serving the best interest of our country. And I really think this articulates the divide happening in America. People say, oh, our country is so divided. I say, in some ways, yes, some ways, no. But the way that it's yes, the country is divided, Washington, D.C. versus America. That's basically it. There are some outliers. There's some parts of California and New York that just have this ridiculous metropolitan extremist radical agenda. They're much more worried about catering to special interests and foreign nationals than they are to the actual constituents and citizens of our country. But Washington, D.C. has become a power complex. And so when the President of the United States attends and he gets booed, by the way, he was smiling when he came in because he knew exactly what that meant. He said, of course you're supposed to hate me. You were the guys that were behind the taxpayer-funded hit job that tried to undercut my entire presidency. And by the way, the average ticket price of that World Series game, I guarantee, was significant. And actually, our team's going to look up just a rough estimate of what it was. And so a significant ticket price in Washington, D.C. means that you're probably working for some lobbying swamp firm. I'm not trying to overly generalize. I'm sure there's plenty of good people there. But the general type of people that are going there in Washington, D.C. that boo him, I mean, they're the same people that are trying to impeach this president and trying to undercut his agenda, that are very, very upset. And oh yeah, so the all paid $1,000 or more for a ticket. That's what I've been reading. And Benny Johnson had a great tweet. He said, Trump attends baseball game. The audience boos. The makeup of the audience is 90% Democrat, 100% lobbyists and bureaucrats. I don't know about that. I think he might be, you know, rounding up, but it's a lot. All paid $1,000 plus per ticket, all threatened by reduced government spending, war on deep state. Amen, Benny Johnson. It's an honor to be booed by these people. I could not agree more. Benny Johnson is the chief creative officer at Turning Point USA. The average cost of Nationals World Series ticket hit $1,225, but some were going for over $10,000. I am so happy that we have a president of the United States booed by Washington, D.C. The divide could not be any more dramatic, and it could not be more significant. The divide is those of which that are creating, that are making value in our country, and those are trying to leech off the taxpayer dollar. And by the way, if you look at the actual most valuable companies in D.C., just to close the thought that I said, almost all of them are government contract-focused companies like Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman and General Dynamics, and that just makes my point. Vincero watches create exceptionally crafted watches, and they sell them at a fair price. So look, Mr. Producer is wearing his Vincero watch right now. I never see him without it. It's an absolute terrific product. There's a reason why Vincero has over 18,000 five-star reviews. Think about that, 18,000 five-star reviews. I wish I could get 18,000 five-star reviews on our podcast. Mentioning that, by the way, you should type in the Charlie Kirk Show, press subscribe, and leave us a five-star review. But that's unbelievable. Very impressed, Vincero. It's amazing. And guess what? So a lot of guys need watches. I see these pathetic watches that these guys are wearing sometimes. And some of the younger guys, I got to point out, this is not exactly good. You guys need a real watch. And Vincero watches have these real watches. So that's why you got to go to VinceroWatches.com and use the code Kirk, K-I-R-K, for 15% off. For daily wear, special occasions, or around the office, a classic wristwatch is something every man needs because they establish the person who's wearing them, and that's you, as the most ambitious and interesting person in the room. When you've got a nice watch, it changes the way you carry yourself, the way you feel, and therefore the way people look at you. And by the way, Vincero has free worldwide shipping. And whether you're a watch connoisseur or looking for your first time piece, a Vincero watch is going to exceed your expectations. So you got to go right now to VincerOWatches.com and use that code Kirk for 15% off your entire order. And guess what? They've had styles totally sell out that I've announced. Totally sell out. So you got to go to VinceroWatches.com, use that code Kirk for 15% off your entire order. So in a letter to House Democrats, Speaker Pelosi announces an official vote for impeachment inquiry. She writes this ridiculous letter. And basically, she says, Dear Democrat colleagues, for weeks, the president, his counsel in the White House, and his allies in Congress have made the baseless claim that the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry, quotes, lacked the necessary authorization for a valid impeachment proceeding, end quote. They argue that because the House has not taken a vote, they may simply pretend the impeachment inquiry does not exist. Of course, this argument has no merit. The Constitution provides that the House of Representatives, quote, shall have the sole power of impeachment, end quote. The Trump administration has made up this argument apparently out of whole cloth in order to justify its unprecedented cover-up, withhold key documents from multiple federal agencies, prevent critical witnesses from cooperating, and defy duly authorized subpoenas. This week, we will bring a resolution to the floor that affirms the ongoing existing investigation that is currently being conducted by our committees as part of this impeachment inquiry, including our request for documents, subpoenas for records and testimony, and any other investigative steps previously taken or be taken as part of this investigation. This resolution establishes the procedure for hearings that are open to the American people, authorizes the disclosure of deposition transcripts, outlines procedures to transfer evidence to the Judiciary Committee as it considers potential articles of impeachment and sets forth due process rights of the president and his counsel. In closing, we are taking the step to eliminate any doubt as to whether the Trump administration may withhold documents, prevent witness testimony, disregard duly authorized subpoenas, or continue obstructing the House of Representatives. Nobody is above the law. Best regards, Nancy. Okay, Speaker Pelosi's assertion is that the president and his counsel and the House and Senate Republicans were making this up, quote, out of whole cloth, is just absurd. Let's consider impeachment inquiries of the past, Nixon and Clinton, and compare them to the current sham led by Schiff and Speaker Pelosi. Here's the Democrats' unfair secret impeachment. Has the House had a debate and a vote on an inquiry? Defined the scope of inquiry? Members can see the evidence? Nixon, yes. Clinton, yes. No with Trump. The president deprived of basic rights. Can the president's counsel attend? Yes with Nixon and yes with Clinton. No with Trump. Specific rules for the investigation? Yes with Nixon. Yes with Clinton. No with Trump. Allowed to challenge evidence? Yes with Nixon. Yes with Clinton. No with Trump. Here's a beauty from Chuck Schumer in 1998. He said, quote, to suggest that the president is abusing power, interfering with an investigation by making legitimate legal claims, using due process, and asserting constitutional rights is beyond the ken of serious consideration. End quote. That was Chuck Schumer from 1998. Nancy's trying to have a vote. This is actually a good thing. It means that the critiques of the process, of how it lacked transparency, the fact that Schiff was having this in this ridiculous basement, it actually shows that your effort and our persistent critique paid off. So mind you, Nixon's impeachment was authorized in the House by a vote of 412-3. Those three guys were some big Nixon holdouts. You got to give credit to those three guys. Clinton's impeachment was authorized by the House by a vote of 258-176. There are still a lot of questions, however. Chief among them is how many and what kind of rights will be afforded to the minority party, which in this case is the Republicans. Do they have subpoena rights, due process rights to the president? Will they all be protected? But in the way that the Democrats have to put their cards on the table and defend this farce of an impeachment inquiry, they will not be exposed. We could take the names of yeses and noes, and this will be a blow to them back at the polls in districts that President Trump won. So look, impeachment is coming. I'm telling you right now, impeachment is coming. Removal is not. But this is going to bitterly divide this country. And I'm telling you what, we as a conservative movement have to be ready for the political fight of the century, because they want to remove this president and damage his. They want to get those approval ratings in the low 30s, and they're going to use impeachment as a way to do it. And the president of the United States continues to fight. We have the lowest ever black unemployment, the lowest black poverty rate, the lowest Latino unemployment, the lowest disabled unemployment rate. He is winning on every single front. And guess what? He's facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for his impeachment because they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. So right now, take out your phone right now and text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available. You'll even be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to what? Make America great again. Make sure you're getting the news directly from the source by texting Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022. Again, be sure to text Charlie to 88022 today. Take out your phone and do it. I get these alerts and you need them as well. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. and the Republican National Committee that is what? Dedicated to making America great again. Again, text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022 today. So another piece of good news last week is when Bill Barr came out and has now said that the Russia hoax probe has turned into a criminal investigation. Look, the deep state, they have been unaccountable for far too long. Justice is finally coming for the likes of Peter Strzok, for Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, Clapper, Comey, Brennan, even all the way up to perhaps Barack Obama, Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden. Look, the move gives the prosecutors running it, John Durham, the power to subpoena for witness testimony and documents, to convene a grand jury and to file criminal charges. They wouldn't be doing this if there was no evidence. And by the way, this move comes as new documents filed by the great Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn's lawyer, reveal that Flynn's 302 or FBI report was edited by Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, the same secret lovers who had an insurance policy to ensure the president never got elected. Keep a close eye on this. So as we're running out of time, I don't really have time to do the Politicon recap right now, where I debated Kyle Kulinski. So sit tight. We will be doing that in a future episode this week. I really want to dissect it, kind of talk about what I could have got done better. But guess what? We're spending so much time critiquing the Washington Post and Bloomberg, talking about Washington, D.C. We ran out of time. And so we're going to be going back to that later this week. It was a lot of fun. I think I did quite well at certain parts, and I think I could have done better at other certain parts. But here comes the I Told You So of the Charlie Kirk Show. Let's go back in the Charlie Kirk Show archives. And I made a little prediction of someone who I thought was going to start surging play tape. If I had to say, hey, this person has the highest likelihood of getting hot in Iowa, and no one is talking about this guy, but he's had a good amount of press appeal and hasn't had a big blow up, I would have to say that guy's Pete Buttigieg. He has a Midwestern appeal. He has raised a tremendous amount of money. He has a great Iowa operation, and I think he's going to have his Iowa moment. And Mr. Producer even kind of doubted me, but it goes to show right now Pete Buttigieg is surging in Iowa. In fact, he's neck and neck with Elizabeth Warren. Joe Biden is third or fourth place in almost every single poll. Pete Buttigieg speaks the Midwestern lingo. Keep your eye on the mayor from South Bend. Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Just by the way, I also made that prediction before the most recent debate, And I made that prediction based on what? Actually talking to real voters and spending time with the people that matter. If the political pundits on TV did half of that, they would actually have a better understanding of the pulse of what's going on in our country. And we are happy that on the Charlie Kirk Show, we are a promises made, promises kept show. We are able to see things as they are going to be. And Mr. Producer just wrote me a note. He said, hey, it's even more impressive because he was widely regarded as performing well in that debate. But I said before the debate, I said that he was going to surge. I saw it coming. And maybe we'll make some more predictions very, very soon. We'll see what happens. We also said that Joe Biden was going to flounder, and that has been proven correct. He's no longer the front runner in the first two contests of this Democrat primary. So that's all we got for you today. Again, we're going to be coming back with more Politicon recap. If you want to get engaged with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, start a chapter, pitch in some money, tell your friend to get involved, or go to one of our events. We just had 500 people in Newport Beach. So amazing. Go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Check it out. And also, please, right now, type in the Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Type in the Charlie Kirk Show. Press subscribe, leave a review, and get the friend to do the same. This is Charlie Kirk signing off from the Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Till next time, be free.